just doing the intro, hang on a sec. No funny song this week. I'm talking over the intro, but I don't give a shit, like. Just do it. There's the drum bit. I'll do the start of it now in a second, hang on. Professionalism knows no bounds in this place. Right, so we're back this week. Going to do a podcast. And this time we're going to try put it out. I can't even remember what matches were played. There was about 40 million matches in the meantime. The last one was the West Ham game, and we won the thing on penalties as well. And then we've Leicester tomorrow night, so lots to talk about. Most of it's the same because it just seems to be the same different week. And well, joining me tonight, we've Stephen.
Transfer deadline day.
There's Jim White in the copper. The copper chopper.
The bottle copter is definitely on the loose at this stage. So, have we signed anyone, lads?
Just yeah, three up. Players there, just as it was coming in.
Did we? Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody's used the getting the four lads back from injury. It's like a new signing.
Yeah, it's a great shout.
Mm. Yeah. Great Coutinho, shout. Origi, Sturridge. Well, Skirtle won't be.
Let's call a spade a fit Daniel Sturridge is better than any fucking player we could have bought, but yeah. The chances of us actually getting a fit Daniel Sturridge
for any length of time,
no. giving him a big or a little mini pre-season doesn't make him be guaranteed fit
for any length of time either.
I think there was more to it than just actual physical fitness in terms of giving him that pre-season.
Yeah,
you know, there was a laying down of the law, nearly, in a sense of, from Klopp's point of view, putting himself in the driving seat.
He went full circle from saying, "No, you're ready, you're out and playing him," and then he done very well against Southampton. Mm-hmm. Then he got picked up an injury, and then Klopp says, "Oh, I was wrong," or rushed him back.
Yeah.
So I think, like, behind the scenes, there's obviously a lot of shit going on. I don't think it's as deep as he's not playing because of God and stuff like that.
He doesn't want to play because of God.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
Yep.
I was talking to God.
Oh, yeah. Really. God said so.
But
my priest told me.
There's certainly some shit going on there. And hopefully Klopp's the man to sort it out.
But it definitely seems that way. And if Klopp is being genuine in what he's telling us, then there's an awful lot of logic in what they're doing. Like, they want to see him get consistently strong enough for training to play matches. So, like, you know, you can see if they're being 100% honest. Yeah, and if they aren't being 100% honest, it wouldn't surprise you.
He's not Ledley King.
Yeah.
You know what I mean by that? Like, it's not whereby we can just nurse him through 2 days of light training and then play a match and then you have a couple of days off. And the way Klopp plays, he won't allow that. Yeah. He's not Harry Redknapp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, for Klopp, by the looks of things, you have to prove you're able for the intensity of training. If you're not able for the intensity of training on a regular basis, you're not match ready.
Yeah, the whole psychology is
perfect.
It's changed. Like, last season, we were hoping to get, like, Sturridge back each time. Like, the focus is, the emphasis was always on
just getting back,
Sturridge. Yeah. And once we get him back,
he was fixed in America.
Great, blah blah. Nobody's going to say that now. The whole thing has changed, and now we're planning ahead without him, and he has to catch up.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Okay, are we a bit disappointed? It doesn't look like we're going to make any signings.
I suppose I was thinking about this today, and I saw a couple of people on Twitter. I was talking to a couple of people about it.
Are you talking to people on Twitter?
So? Yeah, just the odd person I actually talk to.
If you aren't following Steve's account out there, follow it. It's the best account on Twitter by a fucking long country mile. The absolute country mile.
It had about 8 tweets for the last 2 years up until about late December. It's got about 400,000 tweets since. Yeah. Anyway, I was thinking about
figuring out Twitter.
I decided to have a month of calling cunts for cunts that they are. To be honest with you, and it'll probably continue. So whatever. Am I upset that we didn't sign anybody? I'm upset that we didn't get Teixeira. If that's who we wanted, I'm not upset that there wasn't a plan B for that. If you know what I mean by that. So, you know, if I've kind of written off top four, if we get it, it'll require a 13-14 style run. We'll require 8-9 wins on the bounce while other people around us fuck up. So I've kind of written that off. And as much as I've agreed with you when you've said about Europa League being very important and the fact that there's a Champions League place there, I'd love us to go and try and win it this season. But if we're not finishing fourth this season, I'd actually prefer we finish seventh.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think with the way Klopp has us playing, I think with the level of intensity required, I think he could really benefit from having those weeks during the season where there's just no games.
So basically, if we don't win the Europa League, you don't want to get back into the Europa League.
Yeah, if we don't win the Europa League or we don't get top four, I think this season alone, and I'm just putting that as a it's not my mentality around the Europa League going forward, but I just think next season he could do without having those Thursday night games.
Yeah, well, I think unfortunately we're in the Europa League now.
Well, we are, because we're in the final. Yeah, yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, you're dead right. We are. That's
unless City don't make top four, and of all the teams, they look nailed on to make top four.
No. We're in the Europa League now. You're dead right. So listen, hopefully he decides to. He's a smart man. He'll move things around next season when he has full control from pre-season on. He'll have his players in his mind that he'll put out for Europa League games, League Cup games, stuff.
Andy,
like that.
Andy, a bit disappointed we haven't signed a forward, or.
No, because I was saying before the January window opened that I didn't really want a whole lot of players coming in. Didn't want this idea of creating another problem down the line where we bought substandard players and now have to figure out a way of getting rid of them. So when you get linked with the likes of Long, all you can see is us trying to get rid of Long and Benteke and one of Ings or Rigi or something to make way for an actual proper striker. Mm.
And unless you're Chelsea, the price that you get for those players is rock bottom.
Yeah.
You know.
So, exactly. So, why bring in a player that, you know, you're going to have a problem moving on in 6 months' time? Long was never going to be like a 2 or 3 year player even for Liverpool. Mm. It was a stopgap, and why bring in a player that's like and pay for him and pay 12 million toward him, and it could be invested in a player that Klopp and his team can kind of put a bit more research and everything else into. The link with Teixeira was mad. Like, I'm not too familiar with the player. Like, I've heard of him, but for upwards of 50 million for an uncapped 26-year-old Brazilian. Strange, like, you know, I mean, there's probably going to be fellas that listen to this podcast and watch every league in the world and will tell me that he's an absolute quality player and it's exactly what we needed. And blah,
Steve,
blah, blah.
You're a big fan,
but he played in behind a striker. Mm. It's a striker we need. We've loads of those players to play in behind. There's no guarantee that he would come in and start fucking walloping goals in.
Well, I think a great example is when Dortmund signed Mkhitaryan and Klopp was there as the manager, and it took him a whole season to find his feet and find goal scoring form. So there's no guarantee. Like, if you want to actually look at a real comparison, it looks like now Firmino is starting to find his feet and starting to find the goal scoring form he had in Germany.
I think he's a very different player to any player from what I've seen of him, and obviously we're messing saying I'm a big fan. You know, I have
sending me reams of text telling me what he does.
No. That's because I have heard of him as long as Chelsea have been linked with him. That's how long I know about him. So what are we talking? Three months.
You read all the pieces about him.
I read a lot of pieces about him. Yeah. No, as long as 3-4 months, so around August, September time, I think really the mainstream media start plugging Chelsea with him and talking about him. And that's when I was like, who the fuck is this fella? So start looking into him a little bit and seeing what he was about. He's lightning quick. And that is what we actually lack. What he's direct, he's quick, and he has a brain, which is what at this moment in time Jordan Ibe lacks. Mm. And that's what I think our attack really could do with. It's what Sturridge has always given us. It's the ability to get in behind defences, stretch teams, and that creates it's so much harder for our three number tens, if you want to call them that, at the minute, because whoever's playing up front is not stretching defences. They're able to push on a little bit and narrow the amount of space those lads have on the ball and what they can do with it. And that's a massive problem.
Yeah, so. I mean, you bring him in and you're kind of writing off a return of Markovic anyway in the summer.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know whether, like, to me, he deserves a little bit of a stint.
He deserves a pre-season with a new manager.
Pre-season, a few games, maybe start the season next year. And then if it's not working out for him, fuck him off, back out on loan in January and sell him in the summer. Mm. But certainly, like, to be played in his correct position and everything else, and there's certainly more about this player than we've seen so far.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I would have liked maybe to have seen us go for a loan deal, considering that, okay, even if Origi and Sturridge is back, that's still only two recognised strikers for the rest of the season. Mm. It's not a huge amount. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a lot of games between now and then. Mm. So in my mind, I would have liked to have seen maybe a lone player coming in. You know, and who that is, I don't know. You really would have to have an idea to see who was available. And yet again, you're going to get a load of fucking people telling you on Twitter.
But it's not our job to know. Like,
exactly.
As fans, like, we tend to know. Like,
we're not
and
in touch with clubs.
We watch it. We watch Liverpool and we watch a little bit of football when it's on. you know, we were playing football or whatever, and you spot players and things. But there's fellas that are on big dollars to look out for players like that. I would have thought that there'd be a more kind of viable solution, a better bridge gap player in Europe somewhere. That's to come right in. Yeah, exactly. A little bit of invention in the transfer market. That's what I thought, even with the likes of Long,
any of us that were actually even half agreeing with it, it was only on the basis of a loan. The idea of paying 8, 10, 12 million for him was madness. And we're Ireland fans. We see more of them than most.
Massive Ireland fans, especially with the Euros coming up.
There was a stage where Long was pushing on to the next level. He was linked with United. Yeah, he was linked with clubs.
Like when he was still at West Brom, he was linked with us before he signed for Southampton.
But he's not a goal scoring striker.
He's an old Danny Ings that scores less goals than.
I suppose my only disappointment is more so at the other end. I would have loved to see us sign a goalkeeper, and I don't care.
I'm just saying about that.
I know we'll talk about the last two matches, which was the Stoke game and the West Ham game. But like I'll be straight with you. Like I think we've ignored that position now for a couple of years. We have a goalkeeper who's up and down in form in terms of what it is. He'll do great things one week and he'll still do fucking insane things the next week. And I think the certainty a top quality goalkeeper would bring to that defence, because we keep going on the defence isn't playing well, or you know, it's prone to error or whatever. But an element of that comes from having the confidence and security in the goalkeeper behind him, that if they make a mistake, He's going to bail them out. Yeah,
he's very David James-esque, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's, you know what I mean by that. Like James was absolutely superb at times, and then just had a clanger, and he became known for that the whole way through his career. When he was at Villa, when he was at Man City, wherever it was, I am right in saying he was at Villa, you know, in that sense, you know, he had those in his locker, and I think you're always okay. Joe Hart's fucked up, you know,
but he saves more points than
yeah, yeah, you know, like De Gea has had terrible fuck-ups at times, but they're players that you know. It was like when we had Reina for the first 3 years. You just felt to yourself things were safe back there.
Yeah, but like the way James used to make mistakes is it was like clangers, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He'd catch the ball and it'd fall out of his hands and we'd fall into the goal or somebody kick it out of his hands because he
weren't questioning his technique or his basic principles of goalkeeping.
But the way it is with Meg, he's making mistakes even when he's getting away with it. Like, he's coming for balls, he's missing it, and then we're getting away with it.
Yeah,
he's
like clearing at the weekend.
It's constantly happening. Like, it's not like every mistake is leading the goals. We're seeing 5 and 6 mistakes a game sometimes, and we're not seeing the quality that he used to have, that we kind of sort of start believing him last year, which was the shot stopping. So he's not pulling worldies off anymore. His kicking
doesn't stop shots anymore if they're on target.
he can't come for crosses. He's so uncertain, and when he does come, like it's you're planking it.
Yeah.
And then the kicking, it's just disgraceful. Like, I'm quite surprised that Klopp has actually put so much faith in him and awarding him that contract.
I don't know what's behind it. Like, it's
I sometimes wonder, was the contract agreed before Klopp came in, and it was a case of, but no. Like, do you think they would have pulled the plug?
No, exactly. Yeah. A manager of Klopp's stature, if he doesn't want that keeper there, he says, lads, we are not fucking committing to a 5-year contract. Unless in his mind he's thinking 5-year contract means nothing. It's the same as getting Suarez to sign a new deal in November. That June, he's gone.
I watched Karius again at the weekend.
How did he save that?
Oh my God. It was fucking ridiculous to save.
He's it was like he moved the goal.
Yeah.
Just pushed the goal back 5 years.
I'll push the goal this way and dive and get to the shot. It was unbelievable.
I didn't watch him. I just saw the save.
But the one thing about him that, the few times, his distribution is so fucking good. Yeah. Like, he looking down and there's fellas in the half. It's so Reina-esque. Like, you're just looking at, and he's putting balls, say, 7.5 foot, so the fella can't jump in, you know, but it's straight, like, it's a pass.
Like an arrow. It's landing at the right spot for the striker running onto her in the midfielder,
Even the development in his game, before he was a bit flappy on crosses, like, he's just getting better and more confident. He just looks such a good all-round goalkeeper. I haven't watched Horn as much, because there's a fair bit of minds on the television these days, so that's how you see him all the time.
Yeah.
And he just looks to be going, getting better and better and better, and he's exactly, like, we forget that.
Where would you rate him compared to Trapp?
I think, like, he potentially could be even better again. Like, genuinely, he has everything in his locker.
Is Trapp still first choice?
At PSG, yeah. And he's having a great season as well.
You'd have to imagine that Klopp is his eye on a few goalkeepers. They obviously speak about goalkeepers as well as everywhere else. And maybe they're just not ready to come to the club at the moment. He couldn't get them in January. There's no point again in him going and buying a stopgap goalkeeper that they're going to have a problem with. So maybe there will be a couple of goalkeepers available in the summer, and he'll go for them and put a bit of pressure on that spot. Because if you look across the Premier League, even your Sunderlands and Southamptons, they've better backup goalkeepers than Mikel Aignan nearly at times. So he would be, for a club like Liverpool should be, he wouldn't actually be such like a wasted goalkeeper. Like, you have to have a bit of depth there as well. Coming into it, like, I mean, Klopp's treating the Europa League series, he's treating the Capital One Cup series. Be nice to bring in a goalkeeper like Mikel Aignan, give him games. And if the other goalkeeper is not performing,
then he goes
let them fight for sure.
And again, like, as I said on this pod before, well, one that we actually put out, it was the only logic I can get in the Mignolet thing is that they plan to bring in a young keeper like Karius, like Horn. And instead of putting all the pressure on him to come in and be Liverpool's number one, like what you're saying, Andy, we're going to be in the Europa League next year. You're going to have the League Cup games. Yeah. And look how many games we've played already coming up to Christmas time.
Yeah.
He's going to get a right run of games.
Like the way Stoke bought Butland.
Yeah.
You know, and Begovic was without question their number one, but he goes in under... Now, it's a little bit different because Begovic is, you know, arguably a better keeper than Mignolet. But I know what you're saying by that. You bring in somebody... Listen, maybe we're completely wrong. Maybe Klopp says we're going to fucking get a good pre-season with him, rectify those errors, really work with him when we have time to work with him. And they genuinely, in what they see on a day-to-day basis, not in a match situation, see the basis of a really good goalkeeper there. We can't see it, and that's been evident for a long time. We don't have a fucking clue what goes on in training, and maybe they do see things, and he doesn't see that as a key area to spend at the minute. Could be.
Okay, just one last position, midfield. We signed a man for the Serbian Grujic. We've been linked now with the 20-year-old Polish midfielder playing for Chievo or Cesena. I can't remember who it is, but he's meant to be tearing up the Italian league in terms of what he is. Defensive midfielder. We've also been linked with a Spanish defensive midfielder as well. Whatever about us not signing one, the link seemed to be growing. And going back to our idea that we're scouting players, I'm more believing of those type of rumours than, say, us being linked with somebody from the Premiership now at this stage.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It seems like we're moving away from the let's lazy scout fucking match of the day and take somebody out. Yeah. Spurs scouting, basically.
Yeah,
I don't know what to make of it. I love that. I actually love the fact that you just don't have a clue what Klopp's thinking, and no one does. And anybody who's pretending to is talking out of their hoop. So, you know what I mean? I actually really like that about the club again, because that's what Rodgers spoke about at the start, you know, closing off the leaks and stuff like that, and you know, get, you know, Trump, but he was, there was always information coming out of the club, and now you just don't know what's happening from week to week.
That's what I was hoping, like, a lot with Klopp coming in was a bit more invention in the market, a bit more imagination, and bringing in players that we're not so familiar with. Like, he pulled off Worldies when he was at Dortmund. They were coming in for 6, 7, 8 million and less, and making 30. Huge names for themselves. Like, fuck the leaving part, but this is what he was doing. So if Liverpool fans have the patience to see a player coming in for that sort of tent, like, it, prices in the Premier League are inflated anyway, but let's say a player that's coming into Germany for 8 million, like, it might cost maybe Liverpool 12, 13, 14 million, something like that. But if you can bring in players like that, that aren't like that player, like, fans seem to put huge amount of pressure on price tags, which is stupid. It's not the player's fault.
Which, if any club can show, means fuck all with the money we've wasted on Downing and Benteke and Carroll.
It's a false economy, like, and if a manager wants a player bad enough, like, he is the manager and it's his job to pick players that he feels is going to suit his system. So when Rodgers was after Benteke, we all kind of gave our little bit of support because, look, this is the player that he's identified as something that's going to help. No, but, you know, you have to assume that your manager
has an idea.
So if Klopp, say, picked out the share and the Grujic fella, like, he's come in at a low price and Teixeira would have come in at a high price. These players, they average out. Like, you know, you could get the exact same performance level from both players.
You have to wonder.
That's the way the transfer market works. There's very little correlation in the actual quality. How often have we seen players come in like Di Maria into the Premier League? It doesn't happen for them. But it was massive money. It doesn't automatically mean just because this player is costing an absolute fortune that it's going to work.
Mm.
Yeah, like for me, you have to wonder, and I'm not having a dig here at Ayr, but you have to wonder how we fly out to Florida, try and close a deal for a player that we were supposedly £25 million out on in value.
I still don't believe it, because I'm going on.
I don't believe they wanted £50 million.
No, I think sterling. I think it was €50 million.
Yeah, right. Which is 38 or whatever. Yeah. It
38,
is.
And I think we offered 25, which
plus
is
add-ons,
plus
add-ons. Yeah.
Plus add-ons, right? I mean, they couldn't close the gap between.
Well, it was €18 million. I think as he even alluded to, it was €32 million was the last was the last offer, wasn't it? And they wanted €50 million. Let's say it is euros,
and it could well be that they weren't prepared to budge on the €50 million asking price.
They're not fucking stuck for a few bob. Yeah, they don't want to lose him. He wants to leave.
You think we
did it with Suarez? But like, you know what I mean? And we just said, if he wants to go, pay the price. If you don't, we'll keep him.
And it's the same tactic, as you said, it's the same tactic we've employed. Yeah. Like when Sterling
and he's
wants
as
to go,
important.
£50 million.
Yeah, that's as important to them as Suarez was to us.
Look, only the money men in the club know how much we can afford to budget on one player.
Yeah.
Mm. Like if the whole thing was they were able to max out at £24 million plus add-ons, they have to go and try and get him if that's what Klopp wants.
Well, surely they do that over the phone.
Yeah, well,
look, you know, that's
probably
what I'm saying. I
got the impression from speaking to his agents,
handlers are people
that this player is
going to
force his move.
Yeah,
this player is going to do everything to force his move. So he plays his part, and the club are thinking, well, this is what we can afford.
Yeah,
okay, we can probably add a bit more onto this if we think it's going to make the deal happen.
Yeah,
but that club are particularly hard to deal with. They wanted 50
that
million,
price.
And that was fucking it. Yeah. Same way we did with Sterling.
Yeah, let's not forget, like, Suarez forced his way out of Ajax, you know, and
by
we were more
that.
Than happy. We were more than happy to benefit from that. Yeah, we're a little bit hypocritical as a club, you know, or as a fan, especially, well, as a fan base anyway. As a fan base, you know, we're like fucking
not paying £50 million for him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You better give us £50 million for him.
It does seem that Kerr isn't worth a wank in the transfer market. It does seem
it does
like
because
that.
Unfortunately he's the one that is shown as the figurehead.
Yeah.
You know, he's going out as the figurehead to finish a deal.
Yeah.
But
we missed out on loads of deals, but a lot of the time it was either Chelsea came in from under our nose or whatever happened. You know, there's different reasons for things. Like the Conor Polanco one just seemed like an impossible deal.
Got a trip out of that as well. A January trip.
He ran up some bill, I heard. Yeah.
And it's always the fucking it's always the duty free destinations as well.
Yeah, exactly. Looking outside the EU.
All right. So, look, moving on to the games themselves. Right. We'd Stoke in the semi final, and arguably the worst game of football known to man. And then we played West Ham at the weekend, which was, well, I thought it was a better game than
the kids were great, though.
Youngsters.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with the penalty shootout, because we did record a post penalty shootout thing, and
that podcast just couldn't be put out. Unfortunately,
so lucky that
the lads slag me for constantly saying when I'm on, "Oh, that was a terrible recording. That'll be shit when it goes out." And normally it's grand, but genuinely last week it was
just fucking, lost the interest halfway through. No.
Halfway through the podcast, we just gave up on it
being a podcast. One of the two things that really stuck out in my mind, bar the kids, and we'll talk about them now in a minute, but like I thought Joe Allen was very impressive over the two games.
Mm.
And I think for what his performance has been like previous, I think in fairness to him, he's shown a lot more bollocks about him in the last few games.
Yes. He has. And Klopp came out today and said, listen, there's never been a doubt about him being around the first team. It's been down to fitness. He hasn't been fit enough. And we've always said that about him. We've always said that when he comes in, he can do a job. And even me, who said I'd rather us get rid of him if we can get it at a halfway decent price, you know, the truth has always been that it's taken him 3 or 4 games to get up to speed. Now he's in a position whereby he's coming into games and he's on, you know, he's on the right level straight away. Mm. And that's all anybody's asking for. You know what I mean? No one.
Look, like, that's the impact a good manager has. Yeah. Like, he can make an ordinary player out to be a very good player.
Mm.
Now, like, I wouldn't be in favour of Allen. It is only kind of a handful of games now he's put together, and he's become a bit of a cult hero.
Yeah.
You know, the hair and
the new Igor Bishkan, isn't he?
The veganism and all that shit.
We know your feelings on vegans, Andy.
So he's become a kind of a thing now with the fans. Let's see, can he string 10, 12, 14 performances together, and let's see in the summer. But that's the beauty now of not going out in the January window and just splashing out on players. And it's not actually giving the current squad a little bit more of a chance under Klopp. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, he's only there 4 months.
Yeah,
he's got another 4 months to go before the end of the season, 5 months. And like,
but
there could be heroes there to be made, or there could be you know, players to be found out that should be, that maybe right now we think should stay.
But, and they proved themselves to fall in.
You know, Alan could survive the summer, but I'd imagine with Grucci coming in, that's probably Alan gone.
Yeah, but you know what? I think Klopp wants a bigger squad. You know what I mean? And I think if you look at Alan, he's probably the perfect player to be in a midfield with the likes of Brannigan and the likes of Stewart. He's that little bit of experience, that little bit of a calmer head in those sort of games. And I think next season you'll see them being played more. If we, you know, as we said, we have Europa, we have Carling Cup, whatever it might be. I think he might stay now. You know, I think that, like, unless we go out and buy a Gundogan or a whatever, you know what I mean? Unless we bring in two top level midfielders that see Henderson, Chan, and these two becoming the top four, and the likes of Lucas and the likes of Alan then really dropping down the pecking order, you sort of say to yourself, right, then at that point you'd see one or two of them maybe going for for their own sake, for playing time, deciding
and
that they want to move on.
You use the kids, and let's talk about them, because I think of the two games, the West Ham game, sort of, you know, it was a strong West Ham team, with a team that had done us over easily in the previous two matches. And we put out a fucking unrecognisable team, especially in the midfield. You had Stewart there, who came to the club as a right back, and you have Brannigan in there, who's really starting to show some ability.
Lovely player.
Oh Jesus, he looks like
nice was it to see a ball being put in that looked like it could be dangerous.
Yeah.
I was like, who's this for? I know we'll soon knock that out of him.
And also, so good deliveries from him.
Also, I know he's a bit older and he still has the moniker of a kid because he hasn't started shaving yet. But how Carlos Teixeira, I thought he was brilliant in the West Ham game.
Yeah, he was. Like, he's been very good in the Carling Cup games as well, far.
We've been missing Coutinho, and I think...
His FA Cup.
Yeah, and I said it to you, Andy, and I said it to you, Steve, I see him as a Coutinho light. Like, of all the players that were on the pitch against West Ham, he looked like he was going to be the one that's going to cut inside and get the shots away. And it was his shots that ultimately that tested Randolph.
Yeah, no, he's a proper footballer. Like, you can see, like, he's so polished.
His brain.
He's
got it upstairs.
Yeah, and he has it there. He has it down his feet as well. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? He doesn't sky shots, like, you know what I mean?
He's working the keeper.
Chances.
He's making them make saves.
You just wonder why it's taken him kind of so long. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see Teixeira come into the match day team, as in, like, your strongest 11 bar Teixeira.
Yeah.
So he comes in and he's playing with the likes of Firmino. He's playing with Coutinho and he's playing with Sturridge. Mm-hmm. Then we see what kind of a player he is.
Yeah.
Because, like, you take... Suarez was like out of this world, but look at him now. He's even gone on further now with Barcelona, putting him in all them quality players. So if there's a bit about a player, don't just bring him in the Captain One Cup when he's surrounded by fellas he plays with every week in the 21s.
Give him a chance to step up.
Give him a chance to step up that level. For me, that's a player that can. Todd Smith was very good at left back. Brannigan was quality, way better than any of the other midfield options I've seen. I'm not sure about Stewart. Like, he played well.
No, I thought he played well. I'm not saying that he's the answer, right? Yeah. But I think for a guy who started off as a right back, and he's not young either. He's 23 as well, so he's not
23. 90. Yeah,
I think when you're talking about Teixeira there, you know, if you look at it, at the beginning of last season he was 21. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's gone out to Brighton and looked very bright.
At Brighton.
You know, you know, from that point of view, he breaks his leg. Ruins his season, you know, and that's the killer for him there. If he has that full season under his belt, we don't know where it goes from there. In the same way, I've had a great 6 months with Derby or whatever it was and then came in. It didn't work out that way. Bad leg break, sorted now, he's back. That's where everybody's saying, why hasn't he made that breakthrough? Only the absolute superb players really make the breakthrough at 18 or 19.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It really does take till 20. You know, you look at Harry Kane. Age is Harry Kane? 24
It's been a bit stop start for him. Kind of in the same way it was with Suso. Like, I loved Suso, but, and I suppose with Teixeira you have the same sort of fears. Like, they're similar type of players.
But nearly with Suso, we had this love of him, and I was the same actually. I really liked him. We were willing him to be good.
Yeah,
Why is Suso not playing without any actual reason why he should be playing?
Yeah, we were liking him to Fabregas and the likes of that. That he had this sort of magic.
Yeah, he was a little Spanish.
He's
clearly class.
I will say about Teixeira, like, when he came in for that game against Fulham in the 13-14 run, he changed the game. Right?
Yeah,
he has.
And everybody sat up and took notice.
And to me, he has more to him than Suso had, because even looking at the passes and the balls he was playing in that West Ham game, There was one. He was putting fucking split balls through, and you're looking at it's Benteke on the fucking end of it. Right? And you're saying to yourself, if that's a Origi,
yeah, if they're not coming off, but the ideas are okay, it might not even be the best executed pass. He played one that was, you know, 20 yards wide of where it should have been, but you know. That's the slip of a foot. His idea was right, and that's what you're looking for in a player. I don't see in Jordan Ibe.
No,
I don't see that in Jordan Ibe.
Your quality youngsters come in and take their chances. Teixeira's taken every chance he's had. He hasn't had a shit game.
No.
Jordan Ibe, for me now, like, is a bit spent for me this season. Like, he's
a bit like Sterling when he...
I know he can say... I think he really could do with being taken back out of the... Yeah, he's only 20... Look, when Sterling had that dip... the good season, 13-14, when we were half wondering at Christmas, was it worth just sending this fella out on loan? Sterling had so much more about his game. Like, you could see it. Like, you know, he was way more skillful on the ball. He had, you know, he got himself into... He hit the target, for instance. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Jordan Ibe looks clumsy to me.
He runs the ball out of play at least twice a game. Like, don't tell me he's only 20 and that you stop running the ball out of play when you're 12. Like, you know what I mean? The white lines are still the same when you're 12 or when you're 20. Like, when I've seen, like, Ojo come into the team,
this is
a fella who's taking his chances.
Mm.
This is a fella who I think is saying, I'm over here.
Put me in the team.
Mm. Put me in the team because I've just had loads of chances now.
Mm.
You have to come in and actually perform. Like, I mean, I'm all about patience and youngsters, but he hasn't shown me enough from what I've seen him to say, oh no, this fella has, it's not even raw talent. Like,
yeah.
Well, it's like, just but to compare, a bit of pace and a strong.
But this is what I'm getting to, right? He seems to know how to use his pace. There was parts of it when Ojo comes on, right?
I thought you were talking about Ibe.
No.
I was going to say, he absolutely doesn't seem like...
No, what I'm saying to you is Ojo seems to be aware of what's the best. It's not just the case of knocking the ball past the player and trying to out-sprint them. Like, he's bringing players in. He seems to have more tricks about him to get past the player, and he also seems to know how to use, if he has two, he has more than
Ibe.
But like, he also seems to know how to use his physicality better than Ibe does. Mm-hmm. Ibe is a big fella, right? And there's no way he shouldn't be shirking off the
He kind of seems
challenges.
Too nice.
Yeah.
He
needs to be able to poleax lads, and he doesn't poleax lads.
Yeah,
and you look how Sterling, like, as light as he was, he was so
he
strong.
He was the arse to fucking knock lads out of the shop.
And way more, like, I know the carry on with him, how he left Liverpool, didn't show an awful lot of maturity, like, and carry on out mouth fucking smoke and crack pipes and all this shit. And doing the Anthrax gas. But in fairness to him, he was a very mature footballer to be coming into the team 17 years of age. Like, Ibe to me is a 20-year-old that is scored to playing like a 15-year-old coming into the team. Whereas Ojo comes into the team, he's playing with his head up.
Yeah.
I'd be just like for like now, I'd give Ibe a couple of weeks just out of squad, like, and let Ojo have them chances. Yeah. Or Teixeira.
Look, as I said to you, the reason why I really like Teixeira is because he reminds me so much of Coutinho. And if you think of Coutinho was 22 when he came to the club, right? So there's a similarity in age, and there's a similarity in still in the rawness of Teixeira's game, and like that, like Brannigan, like Smith, like these are lads. The one thing that we seem to forget about when we put the kids into those, they're fearless.
Yeah.
They, as you said, Andy, they're trying to grab their opportunity. They're trying to put their hand up to say, "Look at me, I'm ready for this. Please put me into the proper first team squad. I can do a job for you."
Yeah, there's no one other than Smith doing that more so. I think he's really set.
I actually thought Smith had a poor enough game against West Ham, personally. You know what I mean? Mm. I thought he made more mistakes than I've seen him make in other games, positionally out of place, just his delivery wasn't as good, stuff like that. But that's not the end of the world. But just going back to Ibe for a second, and won't stay on it too long, but like, Ibe's only a year younger than Sterling. That's all he is.
Yeah.
So there's a year between them. Now, you take it that at this point, 2 years ago, is when Raheem Sterling really kicked on, right? And you're saying to yourself, put Ibe into that side with Sturridge and with Suarez, right?
Do we get the same return?
Do you get the same return in the next 6 months? You don't. And no. I don't care what anybody says because, okay, he scored a couple of goals. I think he's got three this season, okay? And people have said to me, oh, what about that goal he scored in the Europa? Yeah, well, okay, so that was... You know, I'm shit at football, but I've scored a couple of good goals and whatever. You know what I'm saying by that? Like, anybody can score a good goal in a match when something just breaks well for you. That doesn't say as much about a player to me as what doing the right thing if he'd not scored a goal this season, but I saw him putting a good quality of delivery in, or an ability to get by his man and not check back, or not constantly have to cut inside, or not take a stupid shot or cross that hits the first person that's in front of, that would say to me that he's actually got more in him.
I would have gotten away that season. Absolutely. You see the way Suarez got so pissed off with Sterling at times. He'd have packed his bags and fucked off. Imagine him standing in the middle of the box looking for it, and Ibe runs the ball out of play.
I know there's
people going to be listening thinking, why are you giving him so much about the 20-year-old? Get on to Lallana or something like that.
Yeah, of course.
But we can get on to everyone.
I just want to take it on because, like, in fairness, the points are well made in Ibe, but look, one of the things that we've struggled with all season is the centre defence and early off set pieces, right? And in the West Ham game anyway, Colker and Lovren, I thought, was probably the most solid that we've seen early off set pieces and stuff like that. There was the one incident where it was a bouncy round in the box, and then Colker decided, I'll just take this ball out of my hand and
I'm going to stick it under my jumper.
There was a nice little flick of the hand and a good awareness that the ref couldn't see through his back.
Well, you know what, actually, to be fair, the West Ham players didn't even really contest that too much. Even Winston Reid after the game, I think it was Reid, they were saying, what do you make of the handball? And he was, what handball? You know, they weren't aware of it. It was one of those things, you slow it down
and you look at it.
Of course you can. But my point is, in the heat of the moment, he's got his hand on somebody's back. The ball lands there. He doesn't in any way.
It's the second movement. I know. It's the ball.
Yeah, I know that. Himself.
And even at that, when the ball drops, Mignolet still has to make the save because it bounces down and one of the West Ham players gets the shot away and probably should have scored.
They weren't very potent up front, though, West Ham. They didn't really. I think any central defensive partnership we had in that day would have coped well enough.
But overall, like, I thought we kept Payet quiet, which is like he's been on fire for them for most of the season.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would say one thing.
Midfield shape was very good with that. You know, just getting out to them, just stopping them passes, closing the lines and everything else. I thought they were.
But when you saw him against City a couple of seasons or a couple of weeks earlier, and he was excellent.
Yeah, he's a quality player.
Whereas against Stoke, I thought we were all over the shop at times.
First half, especially. Yeah.
I just don't know if we're tested enough to have us make mistakes as well. Calker's coming in now, like, we're kind of nothing to lose, really. It seems every time a centre half comes into the team, like, you know, whether it's Lovren or Sacco, because Skirtle was kind of ever present, that there was this real, you know, there was an awful lot to lose. Like, you know, a fuck up here and I'm back
there
out.
There was always
team.
One group of people waiting to jump on any sort of mistake.
I'll put it this way, from Colker's performance, if he started in the next match at right centre back, I am not going to be upset about it because I think he did enough to say, well, I have no fears. I'd be happy to see him play the next game because I think he'll do a job for us.
Yeah.
And as much as I love Calatore, and I do love Calatore, he's one of the best personalities around the club. You can see it in the happiness in his face.
I think it's just going to be Lovren and Sacco, though.
Yeah. I think it will ultimately be Lovren and Sacco.
Is Sacco ready to come back in tomorrow night?
I don't know.
I thought so.
I thought he was fine at the weekend.
Was he just resting? Okay.
I think he was just left out.
I thought there was a niggle there. You know.
And I think Andy, I think.
Why? Because there's.
Anyway,
we're just saying about the chances of Cocker starting tomorrow night. As you say, it's probably Lovren and Sacco, which is okay, absolutely fine. But you know, there's been a massive love in for Sacco recently, and
he hasn't been performing.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't. And you went to the Arsenal game, and you said, "Well, I think you said they were." Decent enough, but Touré was probably the better player.
Yeah, Touré. And he looks like the way commentators are always saying he's clumsy, and then these bloggers on Twitter like create some stat where his pass completion is so high and all that. And
who are you talking about now? Sacco, sorry.
Okay. Or they do a video or something, or they do like a very one-sided article or piece on him.
A piece?
Yeah.
But did they ever finish
there
it?
There is something about Sacco that creates panic. Even when he takes them balls down on his chest, like, once he gets away, when everyone's going, oh, Sacco's boss, lad. But like, there is
fucking
a,
proper
for
boss.
A minute. You're going, holy fuck.
And there are people from Dublin saying that.
Not there in your box. Taking a ball down. He's just a mental player. And I think, like, if he could stay fit, and we've seen over time that he was controlling everything, we'd be more convinced. But lately, it's just, I think the balls are dropping. He's been, he's kind of proven the commentators right a little bit.
Here's a prime example. You take his pass completion stats. Go back and look at that Man United match and watch how many passes he plays to Moreno, takes back from Moreno, plays to Touré, takes back from Touré, back out to Moreno. Mm. And they're all part of stats. But United aren't pressing him in the first half, and there's nothing going on. You know what I mean? It's absolutely static in front, and that's a stat that you'll
fairness,
get. Oh, pass completion.
In fairness, he was the only player defender at one stage who was able to kind of drill the ball through midfield into Coutinho's
feet. Fair enough,
feet,
but on three occasions in the first half, he gives United players the ball directly from a pass and puts us under pressure and us on the back foot. Yeah. Yet that's never picked up on. Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, it is by some, but people who can see no wrong in him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean by that? Like, and that's my point. I absolutely like him as a defender. I think he's better than a lot of what we have or what we could get. And I definitely want to see us keep him. But my point is, there's nobody that's infallible in the squad. There's nobody at that level.
And
you can say it for Coutinho. He scored a few worldies this season, but
he's
been plenty of games where he's been bad. He hasn't scored nearly as many as he should have.
We were panicking at one stage of the season that Barca were going to come in. But there isn't really a hope of that happening.
It's the usual Liverpool fan.
Unless Coutinho does this on a regular basis, then we have a bit of a problem.
This is the point. Suarez went because he did it for two seasons.
Non-stop
for two seasons. Coutinho does it for two games, not two seasons. And then,
he can look like a class above the rest and everything else. I think people are, Liverpool fans in particular, they're very bipolar. There was a love in for Sacco, and now there seems to be a lot of people turning on him. I'm still where I kind of was with it. I'm not 100% convinced of him. He still probably
is
the best
centre
half
with a reasonable opinion on a player. They can have fucking bad games.
Lovren is probably, again, it's mad saying this, is probably, okay, leaving aside Touré, because he probably is the most trustworthy defender there at the club. Like, with experience and how he reads the game. I thought he was fantastic against Arsenal. But Dejan Lovren, like, as soon as he defends in his comfort zone, he's starting to become a player. It's not like this thing you used to see a lot under Rodgers, a series of passes where, like, you know, Lucas or Gerrard at one stage would drop into the middle.
Yeah,
you have to pull out to nearly being a fullback.
Yeah, and this is where he wasn't comfortable. And what happened is the ball would be played out to Lucas for Meig, and then the ball would be played to Lovren, and next thing, the whole of our team start pushing up, and then he panics, and then because he's been asked to play kind of out wide a lot, he's in an area he's never been really used to playing, and that's where he's making most of his errors. So he starts making big mistakes there, his confidence is gone, and then he starts making a few more mistakes where he is. But the way he's defending at the moment is the way Mourinho would have his defender set up, like, if, do you remember Terry had a nightmare of a couple of things, nuts 10 times by Suarez, then Mourinho came back in and made a player of him again.
Yeah.
It's because he keeps him in his comfort zone. He doesn't come out wider than the 18-yard box.
Yeah.
And he makes that his own. And I think Lovren can do that.
Yeah.
You know, and like, Lovren on the ball. Again, like, he was trying to impress everyone when he came in last season, spraying 40, 50-yard balls.
They weren't coming off.
He stopped that shit now, but I think it's in his locker. I think if he just sticks to
the
simple
stuff.
When
his confidence picks up and he's not trying to do it every game, he will surprise us
and
with the odd
pass. I think he can bring the ball
like
out. Yeah. I think out of any of them, I'd probably trust him on the ball more.
Okay, I want to shift it on to the lack of goals, obviously, in the West Ham game and the Stoke game, and looking at the Leicester match, because we won't get into a massive preview on the Leicester, but we can wrap it into this itself. How do we solve that tomorrow night? Because Leicester aren't conceding many goals. We've got the 1-0 win against them the last time.
I think that's what we're hoping for. Mm. Genuinely, I don't see this. We're going to Filbert Street. I refuse to call it the Walker Stadium, wherever fucking shite it is now.
It's not even
the same location, but it doesn't matter.
It is, actually. It's very close.
Yeah, no, it's not Filbert Street.
No.
Filbert Street, lower.
Yeah. but we're going to Leicester tomorrow night, and I think it's going to be very difficult. It is. You know, they're fucking top of the league for a reason. Yeah.
We're only like joking about it in the WhatsApp kind of, but I just got an awful feeling after watching them last week that they could do us like something mad, 2-0, like 5-0.
I really got
panicky about it, because the way we can be at the back and the way they are, like, they're hyper. They are fucking hyper.
That's why Ranieri gives them loads of Haribo before they go out.
And I think, like, I think they, the way they are at times at home, especially, like, they could be very, very hard to cope with. It'll be open though, which would probably suit us a bit more, because you can't punish teams on the break.
Yeah,
you know, and
but see, so, even they're open, they still stay quite resolute at the back, don't they? You know what I mean? Like, they rely on Kante and fucking Drinkwater to actually to start those attacks very quickly. Yeah. You've got Vardy, you've got Mahrez, whoever it is. But in terms of their back four, they're not like a Rodgers team that expands and leaves gaps and stuff like that. They'll stay tight.
Yeah, but they
night.
Work. They work back well, and even yeah. even the forwards get back around.
I'd be happy
else.
With a 1-0 against them. That's for sure.
Oh, fuck, absolutely. Well, I think it can go on. Like, what Liverpool turns up. You know,
who knows? Yeah. Klopp doesn't know. Never mind us. You know, so, and that's what's killing him. You can see it in him.
And it's supposed to say unpredictability about them at the moment. And it's what we should really be enjoying is this Klopp, the beginning of Klopp's era at Liverpool. Mm-hmm. It is mad.
Yeah,
like he's had results like them 5-4s before. He said it himself.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't watching them, but
well, I remember watching one of them, and.
I think I was just saying that we have no idea where we were because we had to do a major flag there.
You just said you were watching Dortmund 2 years ago.
Well capable of a 5-4.
So, yeah, in the Champions League, and it was the last 2 minutes. They were 3-2 down to Malaga. Pellegrini was the manager.
Malaga.
And they won 4-3.
Yeah, like as they're coming out with that stat about last 15 minutes of the games, we scored more than any other team in the Premiership. And that's great to see because we keep going to the end. Now we just need to learn to fucking stop letting other teams keep on scoring.
It's just
shit,
mad how chalk and cheese we can be.
Yeah.
It's fucking outrageous. Like, you can be a free scoring team 1 week to
the games that it doesn't open up for us. We know our attacking midfielders are capable of hurting teams when they open up. When they don't, that's where you need your striker coming up with the goods, and we don't have that at the minute. So.
Okay, so do we beat Leicester?
I think it could be a draw. I'm hoping for a goal in it to us. That's what I'm hoping for. And who knows? We just don't know.
2-2. I think we might get a win tomorrow night. I think we're probably due a win at this stage. Given that we drew and lost the other game, so it's in that thing. Okay, so we'll do the Trippers chat thing.
Okay then.
Yeah, we do it there. We're going on. Is this a nightclub, Steve-O?
How much have you got there, Neil? Yeah, there you go. There's your taxi fare, Chief.
Right then, just a couple of Trippers chats tonight because I have to get off. Andy, favourite breakfast cereals that can be had at any time of the day?
That's from Warsaw.
Cornflakes? Yeah, they're the only real cereal you can have at night time.
There is a niceness about cornflakes when you lash on the cold milk and the whole lot.
Yeah, I'm a crunchy nut cornflake rather than just normal cornflakes.
Yeah, go for
but
that as
big,
well.
Big bowl, like, if you've 9-10 o'clock at night, big bowl of crunchy nut cornflakes and ice cold milk. Yeah. Boom. Yeah. You feel great after. You're just like
most other cereals.
And then you have about an hour to picking it out of your teeth.
Most other cereals don't complement, or milk doesn't complement them as much as the likes of
Honey Nut Cheerios or Honey Nut.
Like Cheerios, like you end up with too much milk at the end of the bowl. Yeah. And a couple of floating Cheerios. Yeah.
A couple of floating.
And like you spend your time kind of getting one per spoon.
You're trying to get as much milk per Cheerio.
You don't take like a lot of Cheerios and then you end up with a pool of milk. You know, that's not good.
Do you want it? Can I just tell you a quick story?
Ron.
Like, when I lived at home, I was absolutely spoiled. My mom's like fucking Mrs. Doyle, right? So with Cheerios, I actually like to put the milk on and leave them for maybe 3 or 4 minutes for them to go just a little bit of the milk to soak into.
And Cheerios.
I don't like soggy cornflakes, but the Cheerios I do. So she actually got into a habit of putting the milk on the Cheerios, and then she'd wake me to get up so that they had a couple of minutes for the milk to soak in.
Oh my God.
What a legend.
Mars are like that though, aren't he?
I used to work in Superquin and I did the 6 o'clock in the morning shift, right? And she'd get up at 5:30 and cook me a fry. So I didn't I used to explain to her every week, I'm going into Superquin. There's endless cooked sausages and rashers in the canteen. I'm going to eat another full breakfast at 10 o'clock. I'm fine. No, 5:30. I wouldn't know because I wouldn't be planning on getting out of bed till quarter to
that's
six.
That's what
mass
do.
They're great.
But you know what, our lovely, the nicest cereal, probably not as versatile as the cornflakes or anything like that, but you know those Weedos, they're like little square wheats, but the blueberry inside them.
No. Oh, I know, the shreddies. Like the shreddies,
with the blueberry in them.
I've never had them, but...
Get a box of them on your way home.
I probably won't. I don't really eat cereal.
Deal. Just get a box.
I probably won't.
Tesco do a cheap version.
Right.
They're very nice.
Okay, very so that's nice. Andy's answer. So,
but a lot like they're all loaded up with sugar. But cornflakes, I think cornflakes are just, you're all round.
Bowl of porridge. Yeah, in the winter time, bowl of porridge with cinnamon and raisins and honey.
I was just going to say, porridge grill on its own is very boring.
You need to jazz it up.
Lash in blueberries, honey. Lash in cinnamon and all that. Yeah,
I'm a big porridge eater, so it's...
Yeah, it's great for you. Yeah. Like, from a health point of view, it's so much better than that.
But I do go with the crunching of cornflakes, any time of the day. If you want a bit of comfort food, there's nothing better than a massive, oversized bowl of crunching of cornflakes.
Just like a stew bowl.
Ice cold. Actually, fuck it,
you're going to get some on the way home, aren't you?
No, I've got Cocoa Pops.
But like that's why it's good.
See, that's another problem with Cocoa Pops is you end up the milk to cereal ratio at the end.
Way off.
Huge problem.
I used to like Rice Krispies with sliced banana in there. I don't know if you ever tried that, but
it would be interesting.
It's actually good.
Right, on the sort of, because Steve, you mentioned Super Queen, Barry Carr asks, what's the best special boy from Aldi or Lidl that you've come across?
Special boy, as in the weekly.
I will say Aldi's latest with the Bluetooth headphones.
We got loads of years out of a drill.
Did you?
Yeah.
Have you got one of those blue drills?
Yeah, it's a blue one. Yeah.
It's not like we know the make of it.
Blue.
Yeah, it's just blue.
The blue drill from Aldi.
I have a blue drill now. It's got a fair, like a cordless drill. It's got a fair bit of usage over the years.
I have one as well. They're
like, it's
good.
Not Makita, but it's
it's not bad. It's a Nikita. The name is almost
what
the same.
Have I seen that? Yeah, scuba gear. I saw scuba gear there one week, and I was just like, "That's just fucking."
Imagine
weird.
Going. Well, you wouldn't want to put your brain apparatus set. Or,
where'd you get your apparatus? Well, I got that in such a. Where'd you get yours? Lidl.
I got my first set of golf clubs out of Lidl or Aldi, one of them.
Did you?
Yeah, they were terrible. They were breaking and all.
Do you not bring them back and get a tree? You're guaranteeing them.
Yeah. Don't know. Like, this
you fucked them all into the bushes after bad shots.
Bluetooth headphones for walking out with. Fucking were out recently. They're still in Aldi at the moment. £15. Bang on the money. Honest to jays. Yeah, they're earbuds, but you know the way you just charge them and you don't have to plug them into your phone or whatever.
Happy days.
Like, if they break, you don't give a shit. Only 15 quid.
15 quid, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? But they're really handy. And cool. Lidl had protein on sale for €22. That was a fucking, that was a bargain.
There you go.
Fill your boots.
Fill your boots.
Fill your boots. Oh, and the cycling gear. I would, for anyone that isn't into cycling just at the weekend and does it for commute and stuff like that, the cycling gear is definitely well worth the money.
Any squash rackets? Actually, I bought one today.
Do you?
Yeah.
I have a spare one.
You do not, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake, I bought one.
And I spent money.
I had two of them in the boot of my car when it was stolen.
You can't go wrong.
The amount of random shit I had in that car.
As well, actually, yeah, they sell headlight bulbs, like they're made by Bosch, but they've got some mad name on them.
Scootenhyphen.
No, it says like if you look at the back, they're made and they're Bosch, but they're just some other brand.
It's like LED screens, isn't it? There's so many companies out there.
€4, half the price.
Only three makers of LED screens.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah,
Samsung, Sharp, and. Because Sony use Sharp LED screens.
Yeah, I can't remember. Do LG make their own? I can't remember. Anyway,
LG might make their own, actually, because they have their... Because Samsung the OLED display, so it's... it is. Right then, so that's that.
Their steaks.
Their steaks?
Their meat,
You love their meat.
Actually is, yeah.
You love their meat. I never buy it.
But. Well, when you go to the butchers, you rarely get, 30-day aged steak.
Yeah.
It's normally just... fresh meat in and chopped up, and it's never as nice as the stuff you get out there.
Yeah,
the stuff out of Aldi and Aldi more so.
Yeah, I've heard a lot. There's a Lidl near where I live. There's no Aldi nearby, so I never go near it, and I don't really like Lidl. You know what I mean? So, but like,
I've gone the opposite way recently.
Family and stuff would go to Aldi and love
the one thing I say about Lidl is they do a lot of the brand names as well. So, like, if you don't want to go for, you know, the Scootenhyphen and the Hagenbacher Hurker and the Dairy Maid instead of the Dairy Gold, they have Dairy Gold, they have Heinz, they have all that type of stuff. So, you can get some of the normal stuff that you normally get. The only thing that they should do is start fucking doing individual onions and carrots and stuff like that. That's the one thing that bugs me.
You can only
buy bags of the bastards. Like, you're making a bolognese, you want one carrot. You don't want fucking a bag of carrots because you're just going to throw the rest of
them. They're only 99 cents. Like, how much would one carrot be?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I know, but like, I just wanted one carrot.
I know, it's the wastage of food rather than the cost of it. You know what I mean? But, No, I tell you, I've fallen in love with the butchers next to where Lawler's Butchers in Rathmines.
Yeah.
Ah, fucking brilliant.
Okay, so one very last one, because I've literally got 4 minutes to leave here. Captain Sam asks, what's the most effective way of not getting that last rip on your boxers?
Don't wear them.
Good point.
That's the most effective
way. You mean piss?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Did you say that last drip?
Yeah.
I just said last rip. Huh? I still answered it the same way.
Yeah, that one's not going in.
Yeah. Go again.
Okay, anyway, look, the admin tonight.
Put your first game back, for fuck's sake.
Shake it better.
Yeah. Shake it better. Give it a really good shake, it'd be grand.
Yeah. Does anybody else give it a little wash at the tap? When they're finished, like,
No.
I just give mine a little...
Go over to the sink and stick it in.
Yeah, but the problem was
really far out.
I did that one night when I was absolutely locked in Four Dame Lane, and I just sort of thought, oh yeah, no, this is grand, I'll just go over to the tap and wash my flute. Didn't go down very well, because one of the fellas, you know, the fellas that'd be in the toilets.
The fellas.
Did he give you a napkin?
No, he started going nuts because he thought I was going to have a piss in the sink. I was like, I just stood over at the urinal for a fucking 40 seconds. Just trying to give it a little dip dab here, you know.
Right then, bit of a change. So, admin, right, if you're in Dublin, come down to the Astro Park and play your football down here for the 5-a-side and the imaginary 7-a-side. The day trippers tonight, Steve-o, say goodnight.
Good night.
Andy, say goodnight. Myself, Phil, good night, God bless.
Did you just say you can't be calling them that? Fucking hell.
He's eating on mad.
I think he had a slight knock. I thought he might have. I think he might have. Is that okay? You're not saying knock?